good morning. We're going to turn to God's Word for some direction and maybe a little correction. So get ready. We are in the midst of a series on prayer. We should always be learning about prayer, but we've been doing some different things to try to learn how to pray together effectively. You may have a personal prayer life, which is going great. You know, you're disciplined early in the morning or at night or sometime where you and God meet. And that's very, very important. But in studying the church, especially in the book of Acts, we discover that they prayed together when they came together. So we've been trying to learn about that. We've been trying to understand what God's word says and how to be equipped in our faith according to God's word. And I want to continue to encourage you. You may have gotten like a little packet last week or this week. It's kind of like a plastic see-through envelope. And in it are some prayers for leaders. Because last week we talked about how do we pray for our leaders, or those in authority over us, the government, that type of thing. If you didn't get one last week because you weren't here, there are some extras. You can get one on the way out, or you can ask an usher for one at the Connect desk. This morning, we are going to be learning about how to pray for our families. Each of us, whether we have a large family or a small family, we were part of a family, right? We have that in common. There are, you know, in God's word, there are kind of like three things that he established, and family was first. He established family in the Garden of Eden. He put Adam there. He brought Eve to her, and they began the first family. And so that was one of God's establishments. Another establishment and institution that God put together was the church. We realize in the book of Acts, he formed the church. He brought disciples together, and then he filled them with his spirit so that they could be an institution, a group on the earth that had an effect on mankind, that was good for mankind. And he also put together, as we looked at last week, and as Paul wrote in Romans, the establishment of authorities or governments over us. We don't always like it, but it's something that God put in place to help us and to help the families of the earth to know how to function together. And so in Romans 13, Paul writes to the church, that's us, and he said, "There's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." So God has established families to have authority in their relationship with one another, churches and the way that they function together, and there's organization and there's a way that they work, and then there are governments. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been praying for our church. We've been praying that God would help us to understand how to pray for our church. And now we are moving into this area of family. And before we do that, I want you to understand something. There's an issue of like stewardship that has to be understood. The Lord took man, you know, and placed him in the garden. And he didn't just place him there to fool around, to play all day, right? He probably had some playtime, but there was definitely a work to be done in the garden. And he was there to watch over it and to establish his own rule under God's rule of that environment. And he was given the instructions on how to do that. You know, we know that Adam was there and he named the animals, and then he couldn't find an animal that was like a companion for him. So that's why God created a woman. And God gave them the establishment of a new family. And as time went on, we get to see the blessing that families have brought into the world. Now, not all families are a blessing. Some are very difficult. All of us have struggles within our relationships. But God's word gives us wisdom and the understanding on how to establish the things that he has called us to. So, as we think about this idea of praying for the areas that God has given us stewardship over, family is one of them. We are given responsibilities, and one of the responsibilities is to pray. Just as we talked about last week when we talked about government, we are called to pray for our government, not complain, not be annoyed, but to pray for them, to pray that God would use them for his purposes. It's the same in our family relationships. It will be the same for those who have jobs, and you can pray for the area and where you work and the people that are in authority over you at work and those who maybe work under you. You can pray for them that God would bless that environment and allow it to be used as a place of the Lord here on earth where his authority is established. If you're a student, you can pray for your school. You can pray for your teachers. You can pray for those who are also students with you. Those who are in neighborhoods, pray for your neighbors. You have people that you have relationship with, maybe in that environment, and you can pray for them that God would make you a blessing and allow that neighborhood to be a place where his blessing comes. So our focus this morning, though, is going to be on praying for families. I think this is one of the areas that we neglect to do. We take it for granted. We don't spend much time thinking about it or establishing a pattern of prayer that can be a blessing in our families. Think about it. These are the closest relationships to you. These are the people that you live with or have lived with and that you spend the most time with. And if you don't pray for them, who's going to pray for them? Whose job is it? Who has responsibility for that? We do. You do. I do. And we don't always take our responsibilities seriously. Spouses, those who have spouses, you have a special relationship and a responsibility in that relationship to pray for your spouse. Parents, you have a special responsibility to pray for your children. Grandparents, you have a special responsibility to pray for your grandchildren. Now, young people, do you have responsibility for anything? The question is, yes, you do. You have a responsibility to pray for your parents. Not that you would get new parents, but that you pray for the parents you have, the ones that God gave you. If you're still at home with your parents, that is your core group, that you have a special responsibility from God to pray for. Praying for your parents as well as siblings, if God has given you siblings. So since God has given us this responsibility to pray for our families, how exactly should we pray? Well, whenever we ask that question, how exactly should we pray, we need to be aware of the fact that Scripture guides us in this. We're going to use Scripture this morning to guide us in how we should pray. Because it isn't just a simple prayer, God bless my family, God bless my spouse, God bless my children, God bless my parents. But how would you like God to bless them? How would you like God to involve you in the process of seeing God work in their lives? And these two areas of Scripture, I chose them because they're the most familiar Scriptures to you. Most everyone knows Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, yeah, you know it, right? So we're going to use that as a guide. And then the other is the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. We know these. And so we don't necessarily have to do a lot of study to get them into our spirit. They're already there. They've already been placed there, probably through just discipleship and time being a part of God's family. But we want to use these two guides to help us to learn how to pray for our families this morning. And then we're going to write some prayers because I want you to be serious about developing this area of our lives together. We're going to write some prayers there, and we're going to hear a few more prayers before we go home for our families. So we can learn how we should pray for our families' physical needs, their spiritual needs, for God's protection over them, his care, for the relationships that we have within our family, and for guidance and direction. So these are the areas that we're going to cover together. So the first one we see in both Psalm 23 and in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, we begin to see that we can pray effectively and according to God's word, we can pray for the physical needs of our family. So Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, you might be able to read it through the messiness up there. It's kind of like how I write. I write real messy like that. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So as we think about God's guidance in this, how can we pray along these lines for our loved ones? Well, that God would provide for their needs, right? That God would give them the quiet places in their lives that they need so that they can be restored. We also find in the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6:11, give us today our daily bread, right? We have this same idea that God is the provider. God is the one who helps us to be able to pray and to know what to pray for our loved ones. So sometimes we think that God only cares about spiritual things, and that's a problem. God cares about everything. God created everything. He created the physical world as well as the spiritual world. But sometimes we relegate him to just the spiritual world. So, you know, God's interested in spiritual things, but the other stuff, I guess we have to be, you know, in charge of. We have to be the ones that deal with that. But no, God makes it clear in his word that he cares for us and he cares for our spiritual needs. He cares for the physical aspects of your life. So that the first thing that you should pray for your family is for their physical needs. Pray for their health, pray for their work, pray for their finances. But make sure you pray over them physically. They are physical beings, just like you and I. You know, we have needs and we have these bodies that sometimes break down or need help. Let's pray for our family in that area. All right, the next area is the spiritual needs for our family. This is more maybe comfortable for us because we're in the church environment. Like I said, we tend to think things are just spiritual, but they are both physical and spiritual. The spiritual needs are things like salvation, if they don't know the Lord, or spiritual growth that God wants to bring to them. So if we pray for the spiritual needs of our family, Psalm 23 leads us in verse 3 to say, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So that's what the Psalm says. But how could we pray for our family in this way? That God would restore their soul. That God would lead them in paths of righteousness. Righteousness is right living, right relationships, right? And we find the same type of thing in the Lord's Prayer as a guide for our prayers. Jesus tells us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, right? This idea that there are things that need to be taken care of in the spirit. Our biggest needs are spiritual, and our biggest need of all is salvation. So if you have family members who don't know the Lord, then make it your daily prayer that they find the Lord. Keep bringing that before the Father. Keep praying for them, that their heart would be softened and that they would hear the gospel and that the gospel would penetrate and make a difference and eventually change them. So if they don't know the Lord, or if they do know the Lord, once they've been saved, then you pray for their spiritual growth. You pray that they would prosper spiritually, that they could walk with the Lord, that they could talk with the Lord, that they could fellowship with him, and that their lives would be so enriched by their relationship with God that he would help them to grow in the areas that maybe you see their weaknesses. And the Lord sees that too, and he maybe sometimes puts that on your heart so you can pray for them very specifically. For example, here's how you could use the 23rd Psalm. If I were praying for my wife, Heather, I could say, Lord, be with Heather today. Restore her soul, right? Restore her soul. Fill her up. Lead her in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I might pray for my children. Lord, be with my kids today. Help them in their fight against sin. Lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help them to walk closely with you today. These are ways in which we can use God's word to guide us and to help us. You can also pray, other familiar scriptures that you're familiar with, the fruit of the Spirit. Many of you memorize this sometimes as a child in a child's song, but also in Bible study. But the fruit of the Spirit, you could pray this over your family. Lord, please fill my family with the fruit of your Holy Spirit. Help them to grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help them to grow to be more like Jesus. These are prayers that come right from Scripture. They've got to be in God's will, or they wouldn't be part of how he has instructed us in his word. So another area is for protection, right? Another area that we deal with is the evil in this world, the dangers of this world. Even the physical dangers, but as well as the spiritual dangers. So pray for your family's physical needs. Pray for their spiritual needs, but also pray for God's protection over them. They're vulnerable without his protection, right? We all are. Pray for them. You could use the psalm again, Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Take that and turn that into a prayer for your family. That God would walk with them, even through their tough times. That he would use his rod and staff to protect them and to comfort them. The Lord's Prayer tells us that Jesus prayed this: lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. God, don't lead my children into temptation today. Strengthen them. Help them when they come upon temptation. Deliver them from the evil one, their enemy, Satan himself. If you don't pray protection over them, who's going to do it? Who's going to pray for your children and grandchildren? Who's going to pray for your parents or your siblings? Who else is going to pray for them regularly with your heart for them? You don't want them to walk into each day uncovered, unprotected. So cover them with prayer. Cover them with prayer. Pray for them something like this: Lord, I lift up my family to you today. I pray that you'll watch over them today. Protect them from all evil, danger, accidents, injury, sicknesses, and any other harm. Lord, have mercy on them and protect them. Now, that didn't take very long, did it? But it covers a lot. It covers a lot in our lives. Every time you get in a car and go out onto the main road or whatever, you're in danger, right? There's accidents that happen every day. And some of you ride motorcycles, right? It's dangerous out there. Pray for protection over your family. Don't let them go unprotected from the Lord. Another area is relationships. We should pray for peace in their relationship, for unity, especially if they're married, unity in their marriages. We pray for their relationships with their children, that they would know how to raise their children up in a way that honors God. So do you pray for your family? Do you pray for your core group, whatever your core group is? If it's just one person, are you praying for them on a regular basis? Do you pray for their physical needs, their spiritual needs, their protection, and for their relationships? Relationships are what life is made up of, right? We're not robots. We have relationships all over the place. We need to pray that God's anointing would be on those relationships. Think again about the 23rd Psalm. In the 23rd Psalm, verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows." This is like, you prepare a table, you just think of your family table, right? You think about preparing for it. You know, you put the silverware, you put the napkin, you put the plate, you put the salt and pepper, you put the sriracha sauce. Like, you prepare the table, right? God is preparing a table for your loved ones and for you. But as you pray for them, just pray that God would prepare a table, even in the presence of the enemies. And this is like a military scene here where once there has been the defeat of an enemy, then there's a feast. And the enemy is sort of off the side, or maybe in chains at the bottom of the table there. And they get to watch the victor, the team of people, the warriors and all their families celebrate the victory, but they don't take part in it. It's sort of like something from ancient times, from ancient warfare. But it's this idea that God prepares a table of blessing and victory, even in the presence of enemies, that enemies do exist. But those enemies now, they've been defeated in Christ. They can't touch you because the Lord is there with you. And he's prepared that table for you and for your loved ones. So prepare it in prayer. Also in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray about our relationships. It's at the end of the Lord's Prayer, sometimes the part that we don't read, verse 6. I mean, in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. It's very much a warning for us to be forgiving, to be grace-filled with others when they've hurt us, when they've done things to us, when they've done things that have hurt us, that we remember that, God, we have hurt you and your Son so much, and you've chosen to forgive us. Help us to have grace with these other people. The people that we get into conflict the most with is usually our family, right? Because we live closest with them. And we have the closest relationships with them. So there's more opportunities for conflict. I don't have much conflict with strangers. I mean, occasionally on the highway. But other than that, not much conflict with strangers, right? But I can have a lot of conflict with my family, with those people closest to me. So we need to pray that God would help us to understand, how do we manage that, and how do we pray for one another so that we are forgiving families, that we forgive one another easily, because we're bumping into each other a lot. We're in close quarters. We have to share a lot, and we have misunderstandings often. Remember how much the Father has forgiven you, and extend that same grace to your family and pray that they would have that same mindset. Praying for your family's relationships is important. Pray for peace and unity and forgiveness. If you're married, pray for your relationship with your spouse. If you're unmarried, pray, and if you desire to get married, because some of you do not, but if you desire to get married, pray for your future spouse. You might not even know that person yet, but pray that God will prepare their hearts and help them to draw close to him and to be godly people. Pray for your children, for your grandchildren. All of their relationships matter. Pray that they would be godly in those relationships, that they would find spouses that also would love Jesus and encourage them in their faith and help them to raise godly homes and godly children. And the last area before we get to pray this morning, this last area is the area of God's will, God's purposes. You know, we're always searching for God's will for ourselves, but we also need to pray for our family that God would lead them and guide them, that they would find God's will for their lives. Those of you who have young adults, you know, as children right now, and they're either going through college, or they're just getting out of college, or they're trying to find a career path, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what they want to do with their lives or whatever. Pray for guidance and direction for them. We go back to the 23rd Psalm in verse 3. It says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then in verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray that over their lives, that God would guide them in those paths, that his goodness and his love would follow them every day of their life, and that they would dwell with him. They would understand that he's with them at all times, forever. Or the other passage that we've been looking at, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10, may your kingdom come in their lives. May your will be done in their lives on earth as it is in heaven. See, it's not hard to pray scripture for people. And you know you're lining up with God's will when you do it. Because you're not thinking up your own thoughts or your own ways of life working out. You're using God's word itself in the promises that he has given us and in the direction he's given us. Pray for God's guidance and direction for your family. They need it. We need it. Pray for God's will to be done in their lives. Pray for God's purposes to be fulfilled. So those are the things that we can pray for our family every day. We should get in the habit of praying for our family every day. Spend some time praising God. Spend some time confessing your own sins, thanking him for all the good things that he's done in your life. But then get down to the work of praying for your family. Because it is our responsibility. We have been given a stewardship in these relationships. Whether it's with siblings, whether it's with children, whether it's with grandchildren or our spouses, we have been given an area of responsibility, and I think that we're shirking that responsibility. We somehow think someone else is going to do it. Guess what? No one else is going to do it. It's us. It's you in your relationships with your family. They need your prayers. They need God's protection, his guidance. They need his help in their relationships. They need his daily bread, the things that would give them fulfillment and help them to know that God cares for them.